This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
My guests have stood up. They're so bloody patriotic, the Americans. Yes, hello, and welcome to Mark Dolan Eats the News, US election special, in the company of top stateside comedians David Mulholland, Chelsea Elizabeth Hart, and Jojo Giorgio. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Whee! Hello.
It's great to have you. Yes, indeed, this is our US special. Of course, it's the biggest news story of the week. It's the biggest news story of the year, and really, it's the biggest political event in recent times for the most powerful, biggest economy in the world, the United States. States of America. Yes, indeed. They're getting all dewy-eyed and very emotional, which is the American thing. Now, just before I get into the meat and two vegetables of this conversation, we've just had a major debate, the second major debate between the presidential hopefuls in Hillary Rodham Clinton and Donald J. Trump. But I'm just going to start on a personal note, which is that I'm married. Now, this may not seem relevant at the moment, okay? But I'm happily, I love my wife. She's an amazing person. I don't know how she's in my life. It's a miracle. I'm very lucky. There you go. But it took ages to find her, and I never really played the field with, I had some girlfriends, Chelsea, but not the volume I was hoping for. Do you know what I mean? Not the footfall. And I always thought, you see, because I feel so stupid now, David, I always thought that the way you get a lady to fall in love with you is to make her laugh and connect with her heart, her mind, her body, and her soul so that she wants to be your best friend and lover. I thought that's what you were supposed to do, right? I'm such an idiot,
You're
right?
So naive.
Oh my, I didn't realise, and I listened to Donald J. Trump, who might become president. Turns out, you just got to grab her pussy.
Yeah.
Just grab the pussy.
You just got to say, I'm a star, now I'm going to grab you in the pussy.
Hashtag grab the pussy. What was I thinking, Chelsea?
You old-fashioned man.
Anyway, since then, I've been grabbing constant pussy, and it's been a game changer. For me. Please just don't tell my wife. Yes, indeed. Now, we here at FUBAR Radio, and indeed in the world of comedy, would like to thank Donald J. Trump.
Yes.
Because we wouldn't really have careers without him, would we? The material writes himself. So here at FUBAR Radio, which is the UK's largest ad-free online radio station, we've had a whip round, the team, Adam and Angels and Abby and Ali and Nat and the whole team, right? So they're cast of thousands here, and everyone's chipped in, and we're sending Donald J. Trump a Samsung Galaxy Note 7. Yes, indeed. If he does become president, there will be a state visit to the UK, and I think we should give him a great time. I think we should welcome him. I know he's not everyone's popular choice, but I think if he comes to the UK, he's our guest, he has a great time. I think maybe the first thing he could do is go on the Alton Towers Smiler Ride, just because I think he should have some fun.
Yeah.
Same joke, I know, but who cares? Just the idea of Donald Trump being physically attacked amuses me. But then that falls into his game of violence and nastiness, which we'll come to. Now, the meme of the week, and I love how the internet processes big stories like Donald Trump, but the big meme of the week is cats that look like Donald Trump. Have you seen this? It's an amazing
thing. You have to brush them out opposite and then put the hair on their head.
But it's an actual, that's why I love the internet, Jojo, because there is a thing, and it's cats that look like Donald Trump. And it's great. If you look at the pictures, you can see the cats thinking, I'd rather look like Hitler.
Yeah.
This is actually,
exactly.
The cats are ashamed. They're like, Mussolini is fine. I'll take Mugabe, but please not Donald Trump.
Which is strange, because I always thought Donald Trump, well, I was sort of amazed that he... that I'd never understood how a weasel could look so much like an orangutan.
Well, do you know what I mean? That's a very good point. He's a horrible hybrid of dangerous creatures, isn't he? We've been very kind, unkind about him, but we should say...
Not unkind enough.
Maybe not, but obviously I'm going to be the voice of balance, because I can see I'm there are three sort of liberal-minded US comedians with me, so I'll try to be offer some balance, including asking a key question, which is why Donald Trump has gained traction, why he's here. Is Donald Trump the Nigel Farage of American politics, and has the Republican Party essentially filled that space that UKIP successfully did at the last election here in the UK? So is he just a symptom, and therefore does he need to be understood rather than hated? Also, though, Hillary is no angel. I mean, in my view, the American public have a choice of a monster in Donald Trump and a power-addled crook in Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
Now, is this unfair?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit unfair.
Very unfair.
The DNC is responsible for it. There was loads of corruption uncovered there.
Now tell us about what is the DNC?
It's like your Labour Party.
Right.
It's the
Democratic National Committee.
Oh, it's basically so it's the kind of organisation that runs
Party. Yeah. And there's loads of corruption uncovered that gave superdelegates to Hillary Clinton that might have gone to Bernie Sanders. And because if you asked any Democrat in the States, they all wanted Bernie Sanders to win. And it made no sense that Hillary Clinton was winning. It made no sense. But the fact is that she has so much money invested in Wall Street and the big banks and everything that everyone just kind of wanted her to win because she's in with them.
Yeah, I mean, Jojo, you said it was unfair that I described her as a power-addled crook. However, that's probably the perception of your average working person in America. Even if they wind up voting for her, they're not going to do it with a smile on their face, are they?
No, that's what Trump's doing
so
well.
I mean, I have voted for her, but I would have voted for Bernie had he...
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I love Bernie.
It made no sense.
I really was rooting for Bernie.
Well, can you put it in context? Because, David, is Bernie Sanders, and was he not simply the Democrat Party's Jeremy Corbyn, and therefore much loved by the faithful, but never going to get elected?
No, actually, one of the things that's so interesting about Bernie Sanders is with white, working class, poorly educated voters, which traditionally vote Republican in the U.S., which is the U.S. Conservative Party, Bernie Sanders had a huge amount of traction with them, and he was able to capture a lot of their vote. And poll after poll found that Trump had no chance of beating Sanders. However, a decent chance of beating Hillary.
Yeah, now this is very interesting. And what he had, I suppose, is an emotional connection and also an intellectual connection with the Democrat Party faithful, where he speaks to what they believe in, their values. Whereas you get the feeling with Hillary, Chelsea, that Hillary is essentially, she has the status, she's been Secretary of State,
she's part of the problem.
She's a name, right?
She's part of the problem.
She's box office, but no one actually likes her.
No, the thing with Bernie is that he was against the grain. He wasn't part of the system. Even though he was a senator, he didn't act like he was playing politics as usual, which is what everybody in the States and I think around the world is pissed off about, you know? They're being fed a story that isn't the actual truth, and everybody can feel it, but they don't know what to do about it. And that's what Trump is the symptom of.
Do you not think, though, that Trump would have rolled Bernie Sanders over in these debates?
No, absolutely not.
No, Bernie is 1,000 times
they're
smarter.
They're both from New York, and they're both from New York. So one is smarter.
Right, they could have been like alley cats, right? Yeah, and they would have been a match for each other.
Bernie's very smart and very smart. Good in debates.
Hillary has coaches with her, but Bernie doesn't need them because he's a very smart, well-educated, well-traveled man with a very good heart.
And he's been fighting for
Bernie has been running for office ever since he was at university. He has continually been in elections. He's only ever lost one election, and that was his first election for student body president. Since then, he has won every single election until this last one for the nomination.
So why didn't he get it? Why didn't he get it?
Well, a lot of people think that he actually did and that it was stolen.
Yeah, right. There was loads of things uncovered that looked...
There was backdoor deals.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, is it a scandal upon the Democratic Party and upon Hillary that this is even a contest? That having Donald Trump as your adversary, as your rival, ought to just be an open and shut victory for whoever is running?
Exactly. That's how much people don't trust her. That's how much people are looking sideways at this election.
It shouldn't be close.
She shouldn't even be an option. Yeah. She should have been put to
bed. So what is the problem with
Hillary? There is one real issue with Hillary, is that for 24 years, the Republican Party have been doing a smear job against her.
Yeah.
And people have, it's that one of those things that you just keep hearing things and it keeps turning your opinion worse and worse and worse against the person. But Hillary, look, to get to be in the position that you're running for president of the United States, you have to be smart and ruthless. And the Clintons, and I had the honor of meeting quite a few people who know the Clintons and work directly with the Clintons, said they have good hearts.
Yeah.
They're ruthless in how they go about it, but they have good hearts. Their intentions are good. It would be like criticizing the UK and the US for how they did the Second World War and going, oh, it was terrible, it was terrible. Well, you know, we did some pretty damn ruthless things to win the war, but the object was good.
You can't make an omelet without
breaking
eggs, right?
Exactly.
And do you think one factor then is just that Hillary's been around a long time? Because I feel that where Trump has, and we're going to talk about the most recent
debate. Let's face it, Republicans hate smart women.
They really do.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
They hate smart women. I mean, every time they talk about her, it's always, they're implying that she's a bitch and, oh, she's ruthless. Yeah. But it's like, in the same term, if you say that about a man, they're going to say, oh, well, he's a go-getter. He's dynamic.
American politics is soaked in misogyny.
Absolutely. It's drenched.
And this is another thing that could stop Hillary from getting the top job is her vagine, her lady garden. I should use the Trump term, her pussy.
Yeah, her pussy.
Just grab her pussy. Do you think he'll grab the pussy in the next debate?
I don't know if anybody wants to.
You know he's tried in the past.
Can I be honest with you? It's very hard to grab the pussy when a lady's wearing a trouser suit because it's very clingy material.
Sound like you have a lot of experience in this.
It's all coming up.
What is so scary is that when they go and they talk to the Trump supporters and the female Trump supporters and they're saying things like, well, I just don't think a woman should be president. Like, what? Oh, well, you know, what if she's on her period? She might push the button. Like, are you kidding me? This is my gender out there. They're destroying us. Oh, my God.
If she's having a period, it's a medical miracle, by the way.
Yes.
It's one of the things I noticed when you used an accent representing the Trump supporter. They all have regional accents.
They really do. I can't help it.
None of them have an educated accent. Thick regional accent. These are all the people from small towns who weren't smart enough to leave the small town.
Get out of that town.
What I want to do, before we move on to Trump, and Trump is feel like, in terms of this being a meal, I feel like a discussion about Hillary and the baggage of Hillary is like, it's basically the finger food before the main dish arrives. Yeah. And, you know, Donald Trump, in terms of this radio conversation, is a big Chateaubriand, medium rare, with some amazing Bernays sauce on the side. And we are going to sink our teeth into Trump shortly. But just for me to understand and deconstruct why this hasn't been the most easily won contest in American political history, just how corrupt do we think Hillary could be? Like, for example, we've heard about the email thing. Now, this really stuck at the last debate.
Yeah.
I think the two key things that in which Donald Trump prevailed in the last debate was the 39,000 emails, which which disappeared.
Well, they were erased.
Now, where are they and why were they erased?
They had sensitive information in them.
As I understand it, the Clintons had a private email server in their house, and she was using that for and talking about business things, talking about things with the State Department. And some
basically,
of those things were classified.
The work of government.
And there's loads of stuff in the
but
State Department.
Why didn't
Department
she
that
say that the other day? Because she seemed reticent. It seemed like she was on the ropes. There was no answer.
The Republicans have been hammering away at this and hammering away at this. And she wanted, my guess is, she just wanted to get off the subject.
Yeah.
So she doesn't want to be told in that whole dynamic, are you a wife beater? No, I'm not a wife beater, because then you've just said the word wife beater.
Yeah, exactly.
She doesn't want to fall into that sort of trap.
And there's another issue with, and this is something I'm sure she didn't want to go into, but there are loads of things that the U.S. government classifies as top secret that are really ridiculous to clout. I was once, when I was a reporter in Washington, I was covering the Pentagon, and the censor in the Pentagon stamped top secret on the front page of the New York Times.
Right.
Because it contained data that was top secret, Well, excuse me. It's on the front page of the New York Times. It's no longer a secret.
Exactly.
Okay.
But literally, that's it. They classify things, and you go, that's ridiculous to classify.
The other area in which Trump was effective, I think, as a neutral observer, was in a point which is very resonant, which is you've been in Washington, on and off, you've been in government for three decades.
Yeah.
So why haven't you changed it? You've been an inner figure within the Obama White House for the last decade.
What do you think? She's the dictator?
She's not a dictator. You know? No, it's, and also don't forget, you know, she's she started three decades ago. Well, women were not, you know, did not have a lot of power back then, so she's had to fight and claw her way up to the top to break that glass ceiling to get any power.
All right.
Okay, so today if a woman goes into politics, she has got a much easier time because of women like Hillary who have fought and climbed that ladder for her.
All right, brilliant. Well, look, there's Hillary and a heartfelt defense of Hillary. I make no apologies for pressing you guys on her relative toxicity, because if she winds up being pipped to the post, then questions will be have to answered as to...
It'll be good days for comedy, bad days for the world.
It's definitely close for the world, close to call.
Yeah.
What we're going to do now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a little excerpt. This is the tape that was released... a few days before the most recent debate, and this was in which Donald Trump caught with a hot microphone, which is essentially when you've just done a broadcast and you think you're off air, the microphone is still live. And this is him bragging about his approach in terms of winning the affections of a female. And we'll talk about Donald. Donald is basically the next big thing to discuss, so let's take a listen to this.
I better use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy.
There you go. Now, look, here's the thing, guys. I feel that up till now, David, no one has been surprised by what Donald Trump has said, because the genius of his brand is, I'm not a nice guy. I'm a businessman. I'm a capitalist. So, for example, when Hillary said this guy used loopholes, his brilliant solution is to say, sure I did. I'm a businessman. You should close those loopholes and I will. So this kind of outright, this is who I am, has been very, very effective. But I got the feeling that this moment, that the hashtag Pussygate, in which he has essentially made light of assaulting females, and also just had a very, generally very denigratory attitude towards females, has been toxic for him, and it has hurt him, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think it has.
But was it fatal?
I think it's been infectious.
Yeah.
But not fatal.
Yeah.
Right. He lost a lot of support.
He did lose a lot of support, but then he brought out the supposed victims of Bill Clinton for large sums of money at the debate. Just like literally this unsuspecting girl just standing next to I'm voting for Donald Trump because he as she looks over just like, am I saying it right? You know?
Yeah.
It's you know, but stupid people are gonna buy into that because people who, you know, are starkly for pro-life or starkly pro-Republican because they think it's the party of Jesus. I literally, I'm from a very Republican state. I'm from a state like that votes Republican literally just for gun laws and everything. And
I've heard, Alaska.
Yeah, and I've heard people say I'm going to vote Republican because it's the Christian party. You know, that's what
very
people
tribal.
Think. And that's what people think. And religion is hot in America. It's viral. It's everywhere. It's you know, it being American.
People
is a
don't
fucking
realize
religion.
That because in Western Europe, we look at America and we think America is about the Big Mac and Levi's 501s and Coca Cola and the iPhone.
Jesus invented the Big Mac.
And in fact, America is a beacon of rationality and innovation, but it's one of the most arcane religious societies on the planet.
Oh,
well, it depends. There's been studies that have shown that essentially the U.S. is very divided. There are as many atheists as there are devout people in the U.S.
And
however, there's a lot of devout people.
You have pastors. And you have porn.
Yeah.
You have just as opinionated as an atheist might be about atheism and logic. The Christian is more fervent towards their faith, and it's hard to break out of that mentality. It's hard to overcome because people just the freedom of religion is so important in America.
The Christian right are a more mobilized, powerful voice in American politics than the atheists,
and more normalized.
And what you have
they're
here
closing
is
the loopholes. When I was a kid, you could not talk about God in school other than when you do the Pledge of Allegiance. Mm-hmm. But now they're bringing in God into school.
So, when you were educated in Texas,
yes,
you grew up in the American liberal tradition where it's like we are an open society and we are tolerant of all views.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, Texas didn't start voting Republican until Ronald Reagan. Before Ronald Reagan, Texas was a Democratic state, and we always voted Democratic. And after Reagan, they started voting Republican.
To what extent are the regions of America, the different states, going to influence this?
Is it a similar
map? Does it play out the same every time?
I have a map.
Yeah, of course they have a map. He brought notes.
They do vote pretty much the same way every time, except for there are what is known as swing states.
Florida
is one of those because Florida has...
Pennsylvania this year as well.
Yeah. Florida has a north and a south that are starkly politically different. The south is more liberal, more democratic, and more multicultural because it has a large Hispanic influence, and you get a large amount of people from all over the world there. And then the north, it's more like the south of the states, where it's a lot of small towns, rural communities, very religious and very fervent in that way. So it's... You know, it could go either way in that state. And that's where you get a lot of influence in different states.
Now, Trump is, David, a bit of a curveball figure, isn't he? Because he is not a Republican figure, and he's not even a politician, really, not until this campaign started.
Just a dick.
But how is the fact that he can't necessarily tap into the tribal nature of the Republican movement, because already there are key Republican figures who have disowned him.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of traditional Democrat voters who are supporting him.
Right. So how interesting. So how do you think the geography is going to influence the results? What's your view?
Well, here's the thing. The Democrats, which is like Labour in the UK, the Democrats are concentrated on the two coasts, in the big cities on the two coasts and around the Great Lakes. But the thing is, that's where most of the population is, too.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at a map of the U.S. and you see what areas vote Democrat and what areas vote Republican, you see not a whole lot of Democrat, but that's where all the people are. And you see this huge area in the middle where nobody lives.
Right.
By comparison, you know, there are people there, but
it's small populations. So in urban areas, the Democrats ought to clean up.
Yeah. And the urban areas are going to vote for Hillary.
Does Hillary, JoJo, does she pretty much inherit Obama's following and essentially his electorate? Will most of the people that voted for Obama vote for Hillary?
I think
because I can't imagine an Obama voter choosing Trump.
I haven't seen any. Are there any black people voting for
Trump? I think there are people that might not even vote.
Yeah.
Well, Trump, the real genius of Trump is that he tells his supporters they're really smart using small words. In the first debate, Trump got flustered and he used the word braggadocious.
Right.
And you could see this moment of panic on his face, like, uh-oh, I've used a word my followers don't know.
That's extraordinary.
But now it's a word because it's a Trumpism.
Of course it is. Well, what we're going to look at is whether it's over for Donald. I don't think it is. But as Chelsea very wisely put it, he's not fatal what happened this week, but he's infected. So will that infection grow? We all discuss that. We're going to get our crystal ball out. And we're going to also look at how and why Donald Trump happened and whether or not he is our Nigel Farage. And we know this figure who we used to laugh at and mock in Nigel Farage, well, he kind of changed UK history. So let's discuss all of that after Young Americans by David Bowie. I know, this show isn't just thrown together, you know.
Taken in a finger. All night. struggle for nothing. This is a step in God's hand. Showing nothing, it slips like the sun, she cries. Where are all Papa's heroes gone?
In our US special, it's myself, Mark Dolan, and the company of Jojo Giorgio and David Mulholland and Chelsea Hart, all top US comedians here based in the UK. Now, we're going to come on to Donald Trump and how Donald Trump actually happened. But we definitely don't want this to be seen as an American bashing session. First of all, the Americans are our cousins. We founded the goddamn country. We gave you a language. Then you had your own ideas, and fair enough, like a teenage kid, you had to just go and
make it better.
Do it. And do you hear that? Do you hear that maniacal imperialist
and we
laughter?
We looked at each other just like,
Well, it has worked out very well. I'm a huge Americanophile. I love America. California is one of my, apart from London town, this great metropolis, California is, I think, the greatest place you can be on the planet because the climate's amazing, the liberal atmosphere, it's bohemian, it's cool. There's so much I love about America, and I wonder whether this presidential debate, especially the most recent TV debate, is really, really bad for kind of brand America, because we saw Hillary and Donald fighting like alley cats, really low blows. Mm. I mean, the idea of like Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn exchanging rape allegations across the dispatch box.
Oh God!
It's kind of unlikely. It's kind of unlikely. It's kind of unimaginable.
I mean, here's the thing: when George W. Bush was president, I thought this guy has got the instincts and the strutting posture of a tin pot dictator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But never before in the history of U.S. politics has one candidate threatened to throw the other candidate in jail.
That's remarkable. And it was a great, great moment. And let's play that moment. Nicely queued up, David.
Have
a
listen to.
And I got to say, as collectively four comedians, this one goes to Donald.
It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Yeah, because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
Now, I don't like Donald, but I'm sorry. That was a slam dunk, wasn't
it?
The timing.
Now, the thing about it is that the Democratic establishment, a lot of them would be in jail. If you look at Yemen right now, all those weapons are American weapons.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
They're in bed. They've been in bed. But the thing
Tony
is that
America should be in jail, for God's sake.
No, the American establishment has been in bed with Saudi Arabia since Reagan. It's not something particular.
Longer than that.
Way longer. Yes, exactly.
And Bin Laden
as soon as they found oil there, we got in bed with them.
Yeah. Well, no, that, since Sykes-Picot, that was the reason Ibn Saud was given control of the Arabian Peninsula, because England looked at him as like, listen, we know you're a bit mental, but you know, we would really like the oil here. So like, we're just going to ignore the fact that you're a psychotic bastard, and we're going to give you this peninsula, and you're going to call it Saudi Arabia. Because your name's Saud, and that's just, you know, it's like, it's all right, you know? You're fucking mental, but we want your oil. Yep. It's been, like, since the breakup of the oil.
Now, this is an interesting question, and my sons are 11 and 7, and they're really worried about Donald Trump, but they've got this idea that he's this terrible monster, and maybe he is, maybe it's rhetoric. But here's one thing, though. Once you get onto Capitol Hill, it doesn't matter how popular your mandate is, getting things done, getting that wall between the U.S. and Mexico built, keeping Muslims out...
That's not going to happen. Yeah,
the bottom line is,
I thought the wall thing was hysterical.
That was
said,
funny. Well,
I'm going to get Mexico to pay for it. And then the president of Mexico went, nah. No, that's not going to happen. And you know, if Mexico did build it, there'd be doors.
Yes.
And if the U.S. builds it, and Trump actually said this, no one can get over the wall I'm going to build. It's going to be 30 feet high.
I'm in construction.
No one can get over a wall that big. Like, I just think that would just be a massive increase in the sale of 31-foot ladders.
China built a wall, did they not?
I think so.
Didn't stop the Mongols.
A really long wall, too.
It's still up today.
Yeah, but it hasn't worked.
And it's a tourist attraction.
The French, in the First World War, the French had a wall called the Maginot Line.
Yeah.
But they overlooked the fact that it didn't cover the length of the country. Yeah. So people just used to go to the end of the wall
but
and then
know,
around. like at Glastonbury 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Big
walls
mistake.
Or Hadrian's Wall. Hadrian tried that. You know, Hadrian's Wall, you know, alone. So, you know, there's a history of building walls. Around people that you don't like or you don't get on with.
Well, Jojo.
So Canada's going to build a wall.
Of course.
Just to stop the refugees.
I just want to tear down the walls. I need
in.
Us to tear the walls down between us.
Yeah.
I need us to build some bridges.
Well, do you trust the checks and balances of US, the US legislative process?
No.
To stop him really destroying the country?
No.
Like, he's going to have as much
will
control.
Will he get his tax cuts?
He'll have as much control as any other president has when they go up against the House and the Senate. And he's lost the Speaker of the House right now. If you don't have
John
the senators,
Ryan. John Ryan, yeah. no,
if you don't
comedian.
Have the senators, if you don't have the senators and the Congress people voting for you, you can get fuck all done. Nothing.
That's you what's been wrong with the Obama
Are we looking at? Are we imagining?
You have to have them on board.
So is it going to be? How long is the term? Is it 4 or 5
years? 4 years.
Are we going to have? If it was President Trump, are we looking at 4 years of inertia?
Yes, four years of him screaming
know,
and turning purple
actually,
and nothing getting done.
I don't think
done.
So. Because the presidency has quite a bit of power, much more than was originally put into the Constitution. Congress has ceded a lot of power to the presidency. And also, the House of Representatives right now, which is the lower house in the U.S., is filled with these absolute lunatic right-wing wingnuts who are like, I mean, imagine if UKIP and the EDL controlled the Conservative Party.
Yeah.
And they got to do whatever they wanted. And Trump was like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. well, let's throw all these. I mean, this could be the, if Trump wins with the current crop of horrible weasels in the U.S. Congress, I mean, it could be the end of U.S. democracy and the beginning, essentially, of a fascist.
And are there, because what I want to know is, where does Trump fit in terms of the Republican Party and the Tea Party? I mean, is he a Tea Party favorite, Donald?
He certainly appeals to the same people.
Yeah, he does.
Are they the weasels you talk of?
The Tea Party
part of the weasels.
Candidates, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, these are, oh,
the GOP. Well, the thing is I think a lot of traditionalist politicians are really torn on Donald Trump now after the Pussygate.
Yeah.
Because I mean,
because you know it's not the
family,
last one. You know there's
family,
more coming.
Family and the family unit
and morality
means a lot to traditionalists.
The
GOP and the Tea Party, and I think a lot of people were horrified thinking about their wives. You know, if this man who treats women with such disregard, you know, is leader of the country. Like, this is my daughter. Like, they're trying to raise women. They're trying to make girls into women in their idea of traditionalist, respectful culture.
No, you see, the thing that Republicans do is what they do is they talk about the sanctity of the family, the sanctity of marriage.
And it's true. And Donald Trump just spat on that.
Yeah.
Donald Trump just spat on the whole idea of respecting women. Even though it's a misogynist culture, you said, they still do have this really 1950s perfect Barbie-shaped woman. But you don't go and assault that. That's not the next step. Yeah. After
And he's like saying, well, she was married. I was still trying to fuck her. She was married, but I was still trying to fuck her. Well, good God.
Yeah, you've just literally
you know, in the Bible Belt, they just went, oh, sweet Jesus, hell no.
Exactly
what
happened. Up till that point, everything he'd said, it was Donald. But
Donald
been contrary to the Republican brand and especially the hardliners.
You know, they said, when you go and you take those vows and you say before God, you know, let no man put asunder, he's trying to get with her. That's just wrong.
I found it funny when he just dismissed it as this is 11 years ago, which, yes, would be a long time, except 11 years ago, he was still basically nearly 60 years of age.
It's
not like he was a fresh spring chicken. Like, this is still Donald. Like, this is like, he's been this man for the last, you know, 30 years. Like, this Donald that we see today.
It's the same Donald from 11 years ago.
This failure of a businessman with terrible hair.
Terrible.
Well, here's the thing. Like, right, he wants to be president and, in essence, in control of U.S. education. And his own university failed, and he's in lawsuits still over it.
Yes.
Trump University. Wow, there's a place. Yeah. There's a seat of education.
Would you go to a doctor that graduated from Trump University?
No.
I wouldn't
buy paracetamol from that guy. No way.
He couldn't
put a plaster on my arm. But here's what I would ask you is his defense on the old Pussygate was locker room talk.
Yeah.
Now, alongside the press conference with the alleged Bill Clinton victims, did the locker room terminology, did that get him in some way out of jail?
No.
With some people, with John Voight, the actor.
Yeah.
Is that enough for John?
Yeah.
I mean, I used to work in fish processing plants at the end of the world. I used to work in a salmon processing plant for 3 years in Alaska. And I'm going to tell you, I've never heard once locker room talk about assaulting women.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
They might have thought it.
Yeah.
But they never would have fucking said it because let me tell you, like, no one would have dealt with that. Like, all the guys who work at this factory would have put them in their place.
You know, America's very politically correct. And a lot of guys know, like, look, it's one thing to say, oh, she's got great knockers, she's got good tits, or a great lat, you know, to point out what they like on her.
Attributes.
But to go up and say, oh, I just grabbed her pussy, you know, I can get away with it. That's assault, and any guy in America is like, don't want to go to jail.
It's that traditionalist core.
Well, he said that if you kiss a woman, paraphrasing, if you kiss a woman, what I do is I'm so attracted to women, I can't just help it, and I kiss them, and you just keep, and you don't stop, and they don't stop you because when you're a star, they just let you.
Yeah.
Which is basically, that was the
that's
modus operandi of like Jimmy Savile, Britain's worst ever pedophile.
The children wanted me to molest them. They asked for it.
They were a 66-year-old, is that what
you're saying? We're in agreement that we don't like Donald, but here's my question, David. How did Donald happen? Because Donald is a symptom of something
wrong. Very, very much so. He really is the product of the Republican Party, because for the last 20 years, they have, when they're not in power, they obstruct everything. They have been pushing everything so that wealth goes up to the very wealthy and that the middle class gets poorer and poorer. And not only that, they have undermined the validity of facts. They have been creating a post-rational world where personality is more important, and it's a sort of fascist politics of activating the amygdala in the brain, the fear center, and then short-circuiting the reasoning center.
Nice name check of the amygdala.
Exactly.
Well, gold star for my
Well done.
Yeah. And that's what they've been doing.
Amygdala, so I thought it was a cocktail.
It's a lovely cocktail. I can get it in any medical center.
We're going to go have some later.
So, basically, he is the creation of the Republican Party.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have been saying, we want a strongman. Well, finally, they've got a true psychopathic fascist strongman. Mm-hmm. And they're going, but we didn't want him to actually
Obama has
happen.
Said something very similar.
He is basically the Republican Party's Frankenstein monster.
Yeah, and, and he's and they don't have control.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
He's going very
Obama
loopy.
Said the exact same
but
thing.
But how did he happen in terms of, because I just wonder whether there are possibly parallels with the rise of the UK Independence Party in this country, that a lot of people felt that they were not represented by the Westminster political model, and essentially this disenfranchised millions, this political underclass, who in the end they rose and they created a small revolution. Britain left the European Union. Like, we got out of the European Union by accident. We woke up one morning and we were gone. It's like WTF. So
oh my god.
How did that happen?
I think satisfaction in Brexit was seeing David Cameron's face. I think that was my favorite part. He's just he's just holding it as shit. Just
and I was like, seriously, guys?
If we were suffering,
and
he was like,
it's just like, oh god, I love to see him and crack up and cry. It was like he was like holding in like explosive diarrhea.
He looked like that character in Airplane who keeps saying, "Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking."
Yes, that's it.
Yeah,
I love that character. Favorite movie. Too.
So, but looking into an ignored political underclass
who could
give Trump a lot of votes.
David has said this earlier that I always make fun of their accents. But I'm gonna. This is my brother. I love my brother, but he is dumb as shit. And I love my brother. He is a redneck. Seriously, I love him. But the stuff that he says to me is like, you know, has your brain literally left out of your body? You're an idiot. And he's like, he called me all frantic because he had heard Donald Trump say that in the UK, when you turn 60, the NHS kills you. You know, because that's why you never see any old people other than the Queen on TV over there. I'm like, I don't, what? And he
Has
believes
he not been
it.
To Windsor?
Because he is only watching, he gets all of his news from Fox News or from his local Christian radio station. And who are they supporting? Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump says he is against abortion and any woman that has an abortion should be punished. There you go. They want to save babies. Donald Trump is going to save babies.
If and when
I'm really proud of my brother now.
If Hillary,
what I'm living with.
If Hillary gets in. And the thing is, the polls say that she will, but I'm done with polls since the last election in the UK.
I don't trust
and
the polls
Brexit.
Either.
So, and we do have the very great possibility of the secret Trump voters, those who don't want to admit to some youngster in a cagoule with a clipboard. They don't want to admit to some hipster that they love Donald Trump that's running the poll.
Yeah.
So. If you notice that, every time there is a sort of fascist, embarrassing political stand in the polls before, it's always a few points better than when the election happens.
Yeah.
Every single time. Like UKIP, Brexit, David Duke, the KKK guy who got elected in the U.S. Yeah. I mean, every time you go like, the good guys will win. And then when the election happens, you go, what? How did this happen? Yeah. The polls didn't say this. It's because people are lying.
Yeah, they do.
They're embarrassed, so they lie.
For sure. So if Hillary gets in, Jojo, can she heal this divided nation?
I think that it is going to be the exact same situation that Obama has. I mean, we had a president who's a highly educated man, very good person, and for the last 8 years, all they've done is tear him down and undermine him. They've given him zero respect, the Republicans, and he is a sitting president. has had no respect from them. They're going to do the exact same thing to her that they did.
Yeah.
You know, like when they went after her husband, when they had the whole Kenneth Stargate, all that kind of stuff. It's just going to be nonstop, constantly looking for anything that they can bring her down with.
Mm. And how?
But it's going to be the flip side with Donald, too. If he gets in, the Democrats will do the same.
Well, can you explain to me how that works
logistically? But he kind of deserves it because he's a fucking
He's a dick. He's a giant dick.
A message is emerging here about Donald. Can you explain the logistics for those that don't know? And in this country, we don't understand American politics very well. You have the president, who I know is the commander-in-chief of the military side of things. So essentially, the president can have war.
Yes.
And there's no kind of congressional issue there. We're going to do this. But what exactly does Congress do? Like, how is it elected? It's elected not at the same time as the president, right?
No.
Some members are.
Some members are.
But
is it predominantly... It's one of the major elections 2 years into the presidency.
The new kind of the refresher Congress.
Right. Yeah. And essentially, how does it work? Congress is like our parliament.
Yeah,
and if you want to do stuff that affects
Parliament has executive powers as well as legislative powers. In the US, the executive and the legislative are divided. Mm-hmm. So that Congress is essentially the legislative powers of Parliament, and the presidency and the administration underneath them is like the executive powers plus the civil service.
Right. Oh, I see. Now, how does the Congress stack up at the moment? Is it in the control of the Republican Party or the Democrats?
It's in control of the Republicans.
Yeah, and it has been for a long time.
That's usually the way it works, though. When you get a Democratic president, we get a Republican House and Senate.
Yeah.
Right. And it's partly because I wonder, Chelsea, whether it's the same in this country with by-elections, which are those elections between elections, that always an administration two years in is never going to be popular, never have been, never will. Mm. So you wind up having a Democrat president with a Republican House, which is going to be very obstructive to President Clinton.
Obama's tried to pass loads of, like the Obamacare law and everything. Mm-hmm. It's gone through in a couple states.
Yeah, but it's watered down.
It's watered down, and the Republicans like stood at him full face, like, no, this is not going to pass. This is not going to pass. And it did. Yeah. In a few states, because it has to.
The Senate has blocked Obama from nominating a new Supreme Court justice.
Exactly.
The position's been open for like a year now.
His constitutional right.
And of course, America, embarrassingly, was on the brink when the president wanted to extend America's credit limit. This was a few years ago. And we were hours from road sweepers not being paid.
Yeah.
On the streets of the most sophisticated, richest country in the world, the graves were not going to be dug up because the House couldn't agree to extend this limit. It was all politics, wasn't it? Now, here's the question. Is one of the reasons why Hillary's job is that bit harder because Obama failed, Chelsea?
I don't think Obama failed. I think he did his utmost to put forward what he said he was going to do. Except for Guantanamo Bay.
He did try to do.
Congress passed a law saying that they couldn't shut it down.
Yeah. No, that's exactly. But he's done his utmost to put forward what he said he would do. But Congress has blocked him at every turn. I hear the Congress argument,
and I completely understand that. It's probably a little bit like you're the Prime Minister and you don't have a majority of MPs in the House of Commons.
Exactly. So everything
you want to do has to be negotiated.
Exactly.
And when there's an agenda and half of those people hate you. However... have there been failings? I mean, I'm a fan of Obama, but you see, that's a problem.
That's because he's so fucking cool.
The issue the Democrat Party have, and indeed Obama's legacy, is that he's loved everywhere else.
Yeah. Mm.
But I think that
in America.
In America, not so much.
Not so much.
And I just wonder.
Well, by a minority.
But even Jon Stewart joked during halfway through his first term. It was obviously this hysteria when he got elected, which wasn't dissimilar to the Blair mania that happened when Tony Blair got in all those years ago. Even Jon Stewart acknowledged a sense of disappointment that things hadn't changed drastically. Is there anything in Barack Obama's personality, impressive though he is, bookish, intellectual that he is, has he lacked the personality to really drive through some of the changes that he might have with that mandate?
I'm sure it was a bit of snake oil salesman in his run up to his first election. I'm sure there was a lot of just like, we're gonna do this and we're gonna do this. And we're gonna do it, like you know, like putting forward all these ideas, just like we're gonna close Guantanamo Bay, and we're going to...
That's a good voice.
That's a pretty good Obama.
That's a good question.
What you don't know is that Chelsea blacked up as well.
Not racist!
No, but I would think it was a bit of snake oil salesman to get in, because he had a lot to prove, and I think a lot of his eloquence had everything... his skin color. But his eloquence had a lot to do with getting him into office, because he did have the Harvard education. Mm-hmm. He was incredibly well-spoken, and he has a beautiful bellowy voice.
But Jojo, what do you think? Do you think, I mean, this is just being devil's advocate, but do you think a more dynamic personality, because we know he's bright, we know he's a man of conscience, but, you know, a sort of Reagan-type figure, if it was a Democrat, do you think that maybe his personality was a little aloof, a little anemic for the daily grind of politics?
I think that a lot of people had trouble. And my brother had trouble, just getting together with him because he was so smart. Mm-hmm. You know, and my brother, I think a lot of it is like you go to the Deep South, and I'm from the Bible Belt. You have to understand the Bible Belt is a different animal.
Yeah.
It's nothing like New York or the West Coast. It is a different
animal. It's its own country.
You would literally have people complain that you use two big words.
Yes.
Yeah. Really smart sounding.
Well, George W. gained traction in those parts because of the way he spoke in such an inarticulate way, and they lifted it up.
My brother had an issue with that.
He talks like us.
Yeah, my brother
took
issues.
Smoke him out of their holes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. My brother had issue that he goes, Barack doesn't sound black. And Michelle don't sound like a black woman.
He was raised by white people.
Hmm. Yeah.
he doesn't sound
black.
Do you know
black.
What I mean? Like, that's because he was brought up in a middle-class white family. Like, and he went to... he's not from the parts of cities where people talk in that way.
Yeah.
He's not from
and he's
the...
educated.
Like,
he's well-read.
Anyone from a certain part of a city is going to talk like that.
Exactly.
White, Hispanic, black, anyone.
It doesn't matter. Like, if you're from the poor side of town and... the
Barack Obama was brought up in a white family. That's why it sounds like he does.
There's a big stream in the Bible Belt that is seriously anti-intellectual.
Big time.
There was this one politician in Texas, Board of Education guy, who said, we've got to stand up to the experts.
Yes.
Yeah.
We can't let them tell us what to do.
That's why now children in America, in Texas, when they go to school and they're studying evolution, must also take... What is the other one called?
Creationism. Yeah, creation science.
And it ties in with climate change denial.
Yeah. Creationism, for Christ's sake.
Well, it's funny that you should say that, because we as Brits can laugh at the idea of these people saying, you know, had enough of facts and experts.
But that's what Gove said during the Brexit debate.
That was his main thing. And his one very rare attribute he has is that the guy is clearly an intellectual bloke. He's clearly intelligent. And he's saying, we've had enough of experts.
He's desperately trying to be done with the children.
It's happened. It feels like a general vibe. What's your advice now? We have one more debate to come.
Yeah.
We don't have a result yet, do we?
No.
We don't have a result. Now, I think Hillary has edged both debates.
Yeah.
Being very presidential, she hasn't risen to the bait. I think that she paraphrased Michelle Obama when she said, if you aim low, we go high.
Yeah.
I think she's done that. Should she, Jojo, stick with that strategy? What's your advice to Hillary? You're in the inner circle now. You're her main spin doctress. What do you tell Hillary to do for the next one?
I think she should stay high, you know, because let's face it, Donald's going to go low, and he's going to start bringing up. The funny thing is, like, okay, he's got two things on her. He's got her husband, and he's got the emails. Well, bring out your other guns, guy, okay?
Yeah.
We're retired because we got so much on you.
Right.
Like, so, and that's what we're waiting for is, like, what else have you got? Because all you can do is, you know, tell us, well, you know, her husband's a jerk. Well, he's...
Do you think Trump has got much more ammunition left?
No, I don't. I think that's why he's brought out those old ladies and say, Bill Clinton fiddled with us. Well,
yeah.
Why didn't you go to the
top? Because he has nothing to say.
He has nothing to say.
Okay. So you'd say more of the same from Hillary.
More of the same from Hillary.
The only thing that's troubling, Chelsea, is that people are saying that the last debate should have been decisive after Pussygate. I've never said Pussygate so much in my life. After Pussygate, that
my
should have been...
My favourite type of gate.
Right, exactly. I know. So I've heard. In your case, it's a gate that's always open. So... This is so awkward. I'm blushing now.
You heard that comment before.
One commentator says, a panel of commentators for The Guardian, who I must say their election coverage has been great of the US election, and they said a win for Hillary, but no knockout punch. Mm. How's she going to get a knockout punch? Should she aim for a knockout punch?
I don't know if Hillary will actually have a knockout punch unless she can uncover more juicy details. Like in the first debate, she uncovered the two times he's ever released his tax returns, which is a big issue. Nail in the coffin. If you do bring up the fact that every presidential candidate in all the past elections has released their tax returns, that includes George Bush, that includes Reagan, everything, they've all released their tax returns to show people that, you know, they put their money where their mouth is, versus Donald Trump. It was really, really quite hilarious when Lester Holt was like, the IRS has said that you do not need to wait till an audit is done. And he's like, well...
Yeah.
And then it's just nothing. And I think...
Nixon did.
Yeah.
That was brought up in the second debate.
Yeah. But I actually haven't seen the second debate yet because it was on really, really late at night. But
you almost don't need to because there's so much.
You kind of know how it's going to go.
You can feel it.
You just watch the highlights on Twitter after. But I think there's no good. It's not going to be a knockout punch for Hillary versus how it would have been for Bernie Sanders, because Bernie Sanders is messiah of politics. But I think bringing up more of these truths, these very, very blatant truths that the Republican Party is looking over because they're desperately trying to make their candidate look good.
Yeah.
I think that'll help her definitely, because I felt like in the last two debates, because she was being so forthright with just like pure facts at Trump. She can edge in. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a knockout. She's again like 20 years of slander from the Republican Party, and the fact that she's just not trustworthy is not going to do her any favors.
Yeah, for sure. What's your advice as the seconds of our show lapse away, David? What would you be telling Hillary to do?
What I'd be telling Hillary, I'd be telling her go, just keep hammering away at his failures and what her policies are. Say, you know, what is he going to do for education? When he tried to go into education, hey, his university failed. You want to put him in charge of education?
Yeah.
And do that sort of thing. And bring up his late night tweets and all this sort of thing. Guy's a wing nut.
Do you think she's gained traction, Jojo, with the kind of not fit for government thing? Does that ring true for Americans, do you think?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it has brought some people into her camp because he's not fit for government, and they could see. He was so nervous on stage, always moving around and just, you know, while she stood still and very calm and almost serene.
She doesn't give a shit.
Well, the reason why he was so edgy is because he couldn't get any pussy.
Yes, it's true. It's
true. He was a woman and he couldn't grab her pussy. What to do now?
Those trouser suits. Oh, my God.
And on that note, it's been an award-winning hour of radio. I want to thank three of you so much. Woody Allen said, they said, how do you be a great director? And he said, it's easy. He said, you hire great actors and then it's the easiest job in the world. Well, it's the same for radio with guests. You've been amazing, all three of you. Chelsea Hart, David Mulholland, and Jojo Giorgio. Around the table, what's going to happen, Jojo?
I think it's going to be a tight race. I'm looking forward to Super Tuesday, but it's going to be a nail biter all night long.
Off that fence.
Oh my God.
So is Hillary going to edge it? Hillary in the White House?
I'm praying to God that she does. If there was a God, I would pray to it. But yes, I'm praying to whatever's up there. Please let her win.
All right, David, are you willing to
call it? Hillary's going to get it, but it's going to be by less than she thinks.
Yes. Okay, nice. Chelsea, it's all yours.
I really can't say.
You really want her to win because the Chelsea Clinton's going to be in White House. It's going to give the Chelsea brand currency, which you can tap into in this country.
I guess. Yeah.
Very, very unenthusiastic. Well, I tell you what, it won't be for the want of being informed and entertained by my three guests today. Thanks for your company. Thanks for listening to the show. We'll be back next week with more big stories. This is FUBAR. Thanks to Adam and the whole team here at FUBAR. We'll catch up with you soon. Keep it FUBAR.